Okay, our call to worship this morning is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false witnesses are gone into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is in the flesh, has come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. May the Lord open our minds to the words that have been brought forth this day and bless us all. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, we do come before thee thankful for this day, thankful for the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and the ability that we have through him now to have everlasting life. I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters that are here this day, that you would bless them and open their eyes and their hearts to those things that will be brought forth this morning. That you would continue to help us, Father, in all that we do, always. Be with those who are not here, that you would bless them in their needs, Father. Bless all those that we have on the prayer list and the many others that are sick and in need, those that are bruised and brokenhearted, those that need you so bad in their lives, Father. And may we truly help in that, Father, that we might go forth and help others to bring them closer to thee. Be with us as we go in this hour, Father, I pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to open today with the use of 2 Peter, starting chapter 1, verse 19. We have therefore a more sure knowledge of the word of prophecy, to which word of prophecy ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light which shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is given of any private will of man. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I want, with the help of Arthur Oakman and some of his writings, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about prophecy and revelation this morning for our time. I want to start with the prophet Joseph Smith, Jr. We know he was a prophet. He rejected many of the creeds of his days as utterly unworthy of a loving father, and the conscience of men has since vindicated his judgment. He translated the Book of Mormon, which is regarded as scripture today by well over a million people, and the contents of which are being confirmed by archaeological finds each day, proving the book is true. Only willful prejudice closes man's eyes to its claims. Thousands of people who are neither literary experts nor scientists have found that the book to be true, as its sincere testimony vindicates itself to their souls. The Book of Mormon contains prophecies which have been fulfilled since 1829, when it was first translated and given to the world. Joseph gathered to the church thousands of people in his 14 brief years and built cities and communities. At his side were found doctors and lawyers, philosophers, mathematicians, as well as ministers converted from other faiths. All these things he accomplished in the midst of persecution, and at the age of 39, yield himself to death. We know that on Christmas Day of 1832, Joseph Smith Jr. prophesied that there would be soon a civil war to come to the States, and he even told where it would begin. And now we know that history tells that on April 12, 1861, the Civil War started in South Carolina, just as Joseph has prophesied. Just as in the past, once again, many would not listen. Are we kind of stuck in that? That we're not listening to those things which have been prophesied of in the past, telling of the future things to come? Many years ago, our Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. That can be found in Matthew 24:44. In those earlier days, a prophet appeared and he foretold of the end of the age. He built a way of escape from destruction and gathered to it every necessary living thing through which the purpose of God, temporarily frustrated through wickedness, could be restored and continued. The same divine work is presently going on in our age today. The vision has been given. The preaching of it goes forward, and all while slowly but surely the ark of safety is being prepared in the midst of all the nations, to which will be gathered every living thing of value, through which the divine purpose must be wrought out. The earlier baptism was by water, as it cleansed the earth by the flood. That same element which was used as judgment on the wickedness of the world was used also as a means of salvation to the repentant soul. That which took life has also the ability to save. The eight souls in the Ark of Noah were baptized. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, we can read. For Christ also once suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, that he might bring us to God. For which cause also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, some of whom were disobedient in the days of Noah, while the long suffering of God waited, while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in our age, those who will adjust their lives to conform to the demands of prophetic vision and will be baptized in water and will receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized with that fire. Fire will consume the wicked away at Christ's coming. And it is the same fire which will save those who were baptized with it. One dominant note sounded by Joseph Smith concerns the approaching end of the age. If you look through the Doctrine and Covenants and Joseph Smith's writings, you will note he was always concerned with preparing the people for the end times. In the Doctrine and Covenants, section 28, starting at 2C, it says this: whatsoever ye shall ask in faith, and that's where it all starts. I'm going to pound that into you guys. It all starts with faith. You must recognize that. Whatsoever ye shall ask in faith, being united in prayer, according to my command, ye shall receive. And ye are called to bring to pass the gathering of mine elect. For mine elect hear my voice, and harden not their hearts. Wherefore the decree hath gone forth from the Father, that they shall be gathered unto one place upon this face of this land, to prepare their hearts, and be prepared in all things against the day when tribulation and desolation are sent forth upon the wicked. For the hour is nigh, and soon the day, and the day soon at hand, when the earth is ripe, and all the proud, and they that do wickedly, shall be as stubble. And I will burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that wickedness shall not be upon the earth. Joseph did as the Lord asked him to do. He gave a warning with the insight which was given to him from on high, of those things that were to come in the days in the near future. Our Lord also tried to enlighten his apostles concerning the end. Behold, he said unto them, I have foretold unto you all things Such knowledge is certainly as a light in a dark place, which we see out there in the world today. Boy, do we need the light. Rightly understood, such prophecy exerts determinative influence on character and conduct. It helps us and influences us on the way that we should act, the things that we should do, the places that we should go. It was by foreknowledge which saved the Christian community in AD 70 because they remembered the prophets' warning. Even Jesus Christ himself warned them that Jerusalem was about to be destroyed as the city was surrounded by the armies of Titus. They were warned, just as all people have been warned. God has always warned his people before destruction has come. But as God's people, we need to be listening. Our hearts, our minds, our eyes need to be open to him. So we'll have that understanding, we'll see those things, and we won't just think that it's something of the world. We'll know with a surety that it is from on high. Again, history written before time supplied the motive and sustained the effort of Noah and his family, who preached for 120 years and built an ark. 120 years they had, he preached. He tried to bring people to the knowledge of God and let them know what was going on, and they wouldn't believe. They were too happy with themselves. Going along their merry way, they thought Noah was a crazy guy. And yet, look what happened. It is important that we realize, as believers in prophecy, we should learn to decipher the signs of the times. And we are called to do that, to understand what's going on. The prophets, Isaiah, Daniel, the book of Revelation, we're supposed to be able to decipher them. Can we do it on our own? Absolutely not. We need the help of our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus that we would have understanding of those words. But we need to be studying them today. The ark was more than just a place of safety for the believers. It was the means by which the divine purpose was realized. They realized who God was. They knew at that point with a surety. Were they scared in the ark? Would you have been scared in the ark when you were being tossed on the sea for all them days while it rained outside? Do you think they were assured, besides Noah, of the fact that they were going to be safe? One day that they'd be able to open the door in the ark or the window and look out and see sun again and dry land. The calling and election of Israel as a nation, similarly, was to be a means through which all nations of the earth, not just the Israelites, all nations of the earth would surely know and would be blessed because of it. Self-preservation may be, as some have said, the first law of nature. But it is not the first law of the kingdom. It is not about ourselves. It's about the body of Christ. The first law of the kingdom is to love, not to fear. And that love is the motive on which all movements towards the gathering must be based. Out of this motive comes the revelation predicting the coming of Zion and the great day of our Lord. It is an expression of design nature motivating those who receive it. But you have to receive it, and you have to receive it in faith. Because if you don't receive it in faith, there's that warning that said, don't go there in haste and gather in haste, but go as motivated by the Spirit, that all things would work for the well-being of the people as a whole. Motivating those who receive it to endeavor to want for others what Christ has given to them. I want you to think of that for a second. We've been blessed very much, even as we were talking about this morning. We have been blessed very much here. Each one of us has been blessed. Do we not want that for others too? For them to be blessed, that they would have joy in their hearts and in their lives and see the things that we see? By every understanding of Bible definitions available to us, Joseph Smith is revealed as one of the great prophets of the kingdom. He was foretold that he would come and bring those words out of the dust. His teaching confirms this. His life, together with the quality of his leadership, attests to it. He laid well and truly the foundation of Zion in the midst of all nations for all to see. We must continue in reverent care to build up those foundations and not just have that attitude, well, someone else will do it. we need to be the builders. We are called to be builders. Because of the love of God, prophecy exists that mankind might gain knowledge. He's doing this for us. He really is. That we can have the knowledge and we can have the understanding of the things that shall come upon the earth so that we're prepared. For both the righteous and the wicked, this is also given. Just like it rains on the weak, it rains on the poor, it rains on the rich. God's no respecter of persons. He gives the information out there for all to have, right before us all. It depends on who's seeing it, that they can grasp it because their hearts and their minds are in the right place and use it as needs to be used. I want to examine faith for just a moment. I know we've gone over it a few times, but just for a moment here. Faith is a clue to the meaning of existence. Gives us that little bit of understanding on why we are here. There is a light within each one of us, you and I. This light is from our Heavenly Father, He being full of all truth and light. Now, this light's purpose is to help us on our pathway as we journey through this life, to keep that path lit, that we can find ourselves back with Him. The fact is, saints, God is real. There is no doubt about that, no doubt in my mind. But it is only through our faith that we can realize this. Someone can't tell you and make you believe that. You have to have faith that our Father in heaven is real. You have to have faith in all creation that God created it. Not that it just happened by the Big Bang Theory or any of these other things that are going out there, or evolution, that God created everything before it even was. God cannot be proved by man's logic. There's just no way. It's too much for us to even think about. It is only by spiritual means that one can come to the knowledge of God. Scripture after scripture tells us those things of spirit are spiritual. Those things of the world are worldly. To know those things of the spirit, you have to know God. Anybody can know the things of the world. Just look outside. You see them with your own eyes. But those things of the Spirit are felt in the heart by that still small voice that speaks to you that are heard. God is personal and is active in the world today, unlike many would want you to believe. By now we should realize that God has a purpose for all things and that faith follows us to discern God's divine purpose, not only in history, but also of the things which have been prophesied of to come in the future. Faith isn't of those things we've seen. That faith part is gone. We've seen those things happen. Those prophecies have come true. Faith is that which is still to come, and those things unseen. Paul brings us to the knowledge that we are involved in a process which divine purpose gradually drawing us nearer and nearer to the fullness of times. I want you to turn to Ephesians. And this is Ephesians chapter 1. I'll give you a moment to turn there if you'd like. Beginning at verse 3 through 10. And this is the divine purpose, and this is how this purpose is being brought forth, gradually, bit by bit. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to praise of the glory of the grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of the sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. That's the plan. And we have it right before us. It is a slow process. But if you want to think about it in them terms, you can think about all the people that God wants to bring together, and that takes a while. God's divine purpose has been made clear through the work of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose Spirit is always available to those who seek Him. That is so important for us to realize. He's right there with us if we seek Him. And His purposes do not change. That way we can all be of one accord. If you turn to 2 Nephi chapter 12, we'll find these words. 2 Nephi chapter 12, starting at verse 65. For I command all men, both in the east and in the west, in the north and in the south, and in the islands of the sea, that they shall write the words which I speak unto them. For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world, every man according to his works, according to that which is written. For behold, I shall speak unto the Jews, and they shall write it. And I shall speak unto the Nephites, and they shall write it. And I shall speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the nations of the earth, and they shall write it. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, and the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews, and the Nephites and the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel, and the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. And it shall come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered home unto the lands of their possessions, and my word also shall be gathered in one. And I will show unto them that fight against my word and against my people who are of the house of Israel that I am God, and that I have covenanted with Abraham that I would remember his seed forever. This is truly a promise that has been made throughout the scriptures. That promise has never changed, not one bit. God is Lord of all. He has created all things. He sustains all things from moment to moment. He is over and above all creation. He is the reason for our existence and for the existence of all. God is the author of all creation. He gives law and order to all existence. But He Himself is perfectly free. Now listen to this, brothers and sisters. We get a little whiny sometimes. God's in charge. And He's free to achieve His purpose in spite of what men may or may not do. He is perfectly free beyond the law which is given to us as creatures to do whatever He pleases. He's in control. He has said, I will show unto the children of men that I am able to do my own work. Way back in Isaiah chapter 29, 22, that's found. God is absolutely free and enabled thereby to both constitute and execute His purpose however He sees needed. He is in charge. It is His divine freedom that the possibility of prophecy even exists. And it is what it consists of. We can see through history that God always warns His people so they might be protected from the wickedness of the world, which is out there constantly. There is wickedness out there even now. Is He warning us? Are we listening? Are we watching? It is quite obvious why this is possible, that God can do this through prophecy, because God sees all things eternally. So He is aware of all things in the past, all things in the present, and all things still yet to come. So He knows how to help us, and He knows how to bring that forth. He knows who He can trust to bring forth that message with authority. Plainly put, God knows everything and is always trying to help us along the way. Now, modern man's idea is to live for the moment. We've heard that many times. Many people talk about that. I'm going to live for today. Tomorrow I might not be around, so let's go. Woo-hoo! But they are unaware of the reason for their very existence. You see, people who are unaware of the passing of the passing moment are always in a hurry. They have no time. They have no thoughts about God, no consciousness of eternity and those things yet to come. They live for each passing hour as if it were its last. do you live like this is your last hour you might live? Because you think there's nothing else out there, nothing after this? I hope not. There is something so great to come still. The fear of death brings on a race against time, which man always loses. This error in thinking grows out of the ignorance of the nature of God, which in turn results in sin. If you don't believe in God and you don't know and understand him, you are going to sin constantly because you're not going to believe in repentance. You're not going to think there's no reason. You're just living for the day. This error in thinking grows out of the ignorance of God. We know that. And that does turn into sin. When God created the world, he gave it a time and a season. We read that through scriptures. We even know that this earth, as we can read in section 85, I believe it is going to be the place of celestial kingdom. All things have a time and a season, and God has prepared all things. He set a beginning, and from there time moves towards its end, when time will no longer exist. Time is only for us, brothers and sisters. It's not for God. It's only for us. Time doesn't constrain him. It only constrains us. Between these two, the beginning and the end, there is human history, in which, yes, we are a part of that right now. We are a part of human history right now. Things are being written every day about the things that are going on in the world right now, and we are part of that history. But I guarantee you, God will fulfill his purpose for which he has made this world. And it is now, and he is now using the time he created to achieve that purpose. Just remember that the function of prophecy is to see clearly and proclaim lovingly in this confusing world the purpose of eternal God, our eternal God, and to disclose how it is being slowly but surely worked out. Have faith, brothers and sisters. Trust in God. He is working these things out. And he is using people in this world today to do his purposes and his will. Prophecy tells how God's divine purpose will eventually prevail. All genuine prophecy conveys the true nature of God. I tell you this that you might not be deceived by false prophets, which we have been warned would be here in the world, even these days. And they are becoming more and more prevalent as we look outside. The reality of it is this. We live in a time where many in this world are filled with unbelief, whether it's of their own choice or whether it's just of ignorance in the way they were raised. But they are filled with unbelief, and that's a sad statement because they don't know their Heavenly Father. They don't know their Savior Jesus Christ. They do not have understanding of their purpose and our purpose. It is a time when our faith is being tested every day. Through prophecy which has been given, we know the plan, and we surely know the outcome. God will win. He will prevail. And if we choose correctly, we will be with him and he will be with us. We need to understand the plan. So let's not have failure to communicate with God, always, daily, if not hourly, if we feel needed. Remember that prayer is our best connection with our Heavenly Father, and he does hear you. I don't want to hear the excuse that I've heard many times, even just recently again, how in the world can our God listen to so many people praying at one time? He can. He can, because he's in all things, and he's listening. So let's take that prayer, that tool that we've been given, and use it often. More often. If you think you're using it enough, use it more, because it's probably not enough. And pray for yourself. Pray for those around you. Pray for the things going on in this world. Pray for the government and all those people that maybe their minds would be in tune. There are things going on now that we don't understand, and yet we know that God's plan will prevail. But we have to do our part as the best we can with our abilities to spread that word and to give the understanding. Be careful of the things that you say. Make sure the things that you say and you talk about are proven. We don't want to be part of the rumor mill. We don't want to be part of spreading things that get people excited, whether in a bad way or in a good way, and then there's a big letdown. Patience, brothers and sisters. Study. Look into things for yourself that you'll have an understanding. And God will speak to you and give you that assurity of all things. I pray that the Lord will continue to bless you throughout this week. Don't get overheated. Try to stay cool. It's going to be a hot week. I know we could use some rain. Maybe we can pray for a little bit of rain for the flowers and trees and everything to keep them growing. But be wise stewards over all things that you have and over all things that you do and over all things that you say. And that is my prayer. Thank you. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we truly do pray forgiveness for all those sins that have gone before us, and that we might continue to be a repentful people, that we might be able to walk in that light from on high that guides and directs us into that true path, that straight and narrow way which leads to Thee. I pray a blessing upon each one here this day, Father, that You would go forth from this place with them, that they would take those words that have been given this day and go forth and rejoice. Rejoice with their friends, rejoice with their families, and bring those words of truth inspired from on high. I pray that we would find ourselves studying, Father, and praying and fasting always, that we might be able to have that true connection with You and that knowledge that You want to give to us, that we can share to others to help in the building of this part of Your vineyard. Be with us as we go forth, Father. May Your protecting angels go before us as we drive home, that we would have safe travel. Is my prayer in Your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.